In the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The Gospel of the fourth Sunday of the blessed month of Baba, as we just heard, is about the raising of the son of the widow of Nain. And as you just heard at the conclusion of the story, when the people witnessed this, they said a great prophet had risen up among us. And we wonder, where did these people go at the time of the crucifixion? Why they didn't follow? Why they did not keep this impression all through? And the Lord Christ, when he raised this man, it was not intended for him to get the attention or to let the people know whom he is. Yes, this is something we learn it later, but meanwhile he did this out of compassion. But the idea is those people who followed God, they did not follow him because he was a miracle doer. To raise somebody from the dead is definitely a big sign that can get the attention of the people. But this is what is different in Christianity. Those who know God and follow him, they do not follow him because of what he can do as a miracle doer, but because of whom he is and what a change he can do to the heart of those people who follow him. There are many paradoxes in Christianity. Paradox, by definition, is an opinion or a statement contrary to commonly accepted opinion. Like this one, people can say, if you show me a sign, I would believe. But Christ didn't do this. He did something against what everyone agreed on. This would be something that can be influential. St. Paul says to us, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weaknesses of God is stronger than men. What does it mean, the foolishness of God is wiser than men? What we perceive as foolish, it's not smart. I think if God would do it differently, he would get more people to know him. If he would appear in the middle of the land of Egypt, coming maybe shining with angels, people might think that this will turn all of the people who are not Christian in Egypt to become Christians. But believe me, this is not the case. It's not going to happen this way. Those who will know him will not know him because of a miracle or a sign. Let us go and see these paradoxes. The contrary opinion, this what we see contrary to what the people agree as wise. First thing is about the author of our faith, the founder of our religion, the father of all the Christians, our Lord and Christ. We hear about him in Isaiah 42. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. For everyone or anyone who will bring justice to the nations, he is going to do something that's revolutionary. He's going to change the face of history. People like this tend to have a loud voice. We can see this as we witness a revolution after another in Egypt. People, they go on the street and they keep crying and screaming, and in order for them to be heard. For a man to bring change, usually this person has the charisma and has the loud voice in order for others to hear and heed what he is saying. But it is said about him that he will not cry out nor raise his voice, but he was able still to bring the change. It's a lesson for us. We can bring a change without being loud. We all fall into this trap that whenever we want to make a change, we tend to get loud. But this is not here what Christ is teaching us. About him, he was described, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. On the cross, there was no beauty on him. But still we love him. We know whom he is and we follow him. Even while he chose for himself to look like a weak servant, still he captured the heart of those people who truly believed in him and followed him. Another paradox is also the message. As St. Paul says to the Corinthians, for Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. It's an impossible message to come and preach God who came in the flesh to be crucified. Imagine someone is running for the office and he comes and say that, by the way, if you follow me, things are going to get worse for you. Nothing is going to happen, change, and you are going to suffer. And the only thing I'm going to promise you that you will be carrying a cross and maybe you will die. What kind of message this? Who is going to acquire this and live by? But this was the message. And St. Paul was aware of it. The Jews are requesting a sign. They want to see a miracle. And the Greek, they want to hear something about power. But we preach Christ crucified. He did not say Christ resurrected. The first message is Christ crucified. You like it or not, this is the truth. And this is what happened. People believed it because it was the truth, not because it was something impressive. When the Lord Christ said, in the world you will have tribulation, what kind of encouragement is this? It's very difficult when we hear that if you follow me, you will have tribulation. Still, unfortunately, some of us, we do not want to believe this. We want to see that when we follow him, everything will be as we desire or we wish. The message was also a paradox, something that's not easy to acquire or to live by. And what about the messengers? If someone sent an ambassador to present to him, he will definitely select those people carefully because this person is going to give the impression about the one who sent him. And we all know that ambassadors in any country, they are selected carefully, lest they might make a problem for the country that sent them. But what about the messenger that Christ sent for the whole world to believe? St. Paul says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world. And the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Describing the messengers as what? The despised people, the weak, even who are not. Who would regard fishermen to come and preach something that's very different than what everybody used to hear? But still it worked, because this is God's way, in order for him to put to shame all of the wisdom of this world. And what about the suitable environment? We all might imagine that if we live calmly, in peace, everything goes well, we will know God more, we will worship him more diligently, and we will be more faithful, because this is a suitable circumstance, a situation. But this is not the case. Actually, in the book of Exodus, we hear when Pharaoh started to oppress the Israelites, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. It's against what everyone would think. They grew and were multiplied under the oppression of the Egyptians. We hear also in the book of Acts, at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. When we were scattered, they went preaching. It did not hurt the church that the church fell under persecution. Actually, it made it to grow. Look at the pictures here that you can see. The atheism rate in a country like Sweden, the highest living standard. In 2007, the people who said that they do not believe in God were 85% of a survey that was conducted there. Even in Israel, the atheism rate is 37%. In another picture, you find a simple person that we do not know whom he is, what's his name. He's standing before an altar that was burned by the terrorist. And he was still able to lift his hand and pray to God, whom he believes is the true God, even while seeing that this God did not protect his church physically from harm. This is against what anyone really can imagine, that people still, they can know and worship and be faithful at the time of tribulation. But this is what's happening. This is what Christianity is about. What makes Christianity different? When we try to accommodate the religion to suit and fit what we think is right, what makes sense, it will never work. We'll always stumble in Christ and in His ways and at what He wants us to believe in. Another paradox is, who should understand this message? It goes to the mind of everyone. The wiser, the more intelligent you are, the more you will be able to comprehend. If you are smart, you will get it. But this is not, again, what we know in Christianity. The Lord Christ said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Actually, the simpler you are, the more able that you will comprehend the doctrine and the commandment of God. Maybe you are given a talent, you're a smart person, but this is not enough. In order for you to understand, you have to go back and perceive the teaching as a child. Another paradox is the relationship between faith and the glory of God. We might assume that if we see the glory of God, we will believe. But here, this is not the case. God is requesting us that we believe first before we can see His glory. He said this to Martha and Mariam when He came to visit the tomb of Lazarus. Before He raised him from the dead, He said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Oh Lord Christ, I think this statement needs to be rephrased. If we see the glory of God, we will believe. This is what we think is right. No, this is not my way. If you believe, you will start to see the glory of God. This is what happened with Abraham. God, when He called him, did not show Himself to Abraham. He did not give him a son, and then you will follow me. You follow me and you believe in me, and then you will see the glory of God. Look here at the wonderful story of Tobit and Tobiah in the book of Tobit. We hear about Tobit the father when he lost his eyesight. This man, he used to serve the dead people, take them and bury them away from the eyes of the authorities. After he lost his eyesight, a great, of course, like problem and hardship, he raises his hands and pray this prayer. And it is said about him that he remained immovable in the fear of God, giving thanks to God all the days of his life. How he was able to do this? He did not see the goodness of God yet. He is going from difficulty to hardship, but he still was immovable, give thanks. And that's why he was able to see the glory of God, what Archangel Raphael did with him and his son. Another paradox is what's weak and what's strong. St. Paul says something that's very strange. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Look at these two words. Pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. Why you do this? Why you take pleasure in all of these things that bring sadness and grief to man's heart? Because he understood. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am going through all of this, I will rely on God's grace. I will know Him more. He will reveal Himself to me. He understood that the weaker he gets, the more difficult situations he might be living in, the more he will be able to see God's goodness. Like the time of fasting. The time of fasting, we are weak physically, but it is the time when we are spiritually strong. Another paradox that we have to believe in. St. Peter, when he knew that he's a sinful man, this is the time when he was called to service. He asked the Lord to depart from his ship, and the Lord called him to be a fisher of men. In the same time, maybe still we are not called to serve or are not serving in the right way simply because we do not know how weak we are or how sinful that we are. We are still entitled to certain things from God, and that's why there is difficulty in how we serve or how we think of what the service should to be about. Another paradox is the last and first. In the Gospel of St. Mark, the Lord Christ said about him, he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. The father of any household is the servant of every member. He is the last person to find rest, the last one to sleep, or to ask for that things to be done for him. Why? Because he is the one who is called to be the head of the house. So the head should be the last. The one who should be first is the one who is the servant of all. This is again is what some people think. If I am older, if I am the master of the house, then the people should be serving me, should be going around what I desire, and should work after what makes me comfortable. But this is not what we learned from the Lord Christ. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Another paradox against what everyone in this world live by. Another paradox is what is lost and then found. The Lord Christ said, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. The more you give, the more you find yourself. The more you allow yourself to lose in this world, the more you find yourself, and you find and heap for yourselves treasures in heaven. Saint Paul, before knowing Christ, before being a Christian, he was a Pharisee. He had the Roman citizenship. He was even in contact with the high priest. He can take from him some letters to go and capture the Christians in Damascus. And look what happened to him after he knew Christ. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless, and we labor working with our hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the off-scourging of all things until now. Who would accept to be the filth of the world? Something that's very mean and base for anyone to be called this. But he knew that this is the only way for him to be able to find his soul. Some might think that I have some kind of limitations. I can serve within a certain limit, but I'm not going to expose myself to defame or problems. I will serve as much as I am not taking troubles. But this is not what we understand about if you lose yourself, you will find it at the end. The last paradox that we're going to talk about it today is, what is better, the beginning of things or the end of things? We all celebrate birthdays, but no one celebrates the time when he departs from this world. This is again is what everyone agrees on, but this is not what we learn again from the Bible. The day of death is better than the day of one's birth. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. We all get excited about beginning things, but this is not truly what makes things out of value. What should be of value is how we end the race. We all can run the beginning, but the one who is going to be celebrated is the one who is going to finish at the end. All of these paradox teach us that we should not trust what the world say or agree on or communicate as common sense, or this goes without saying. You have to believe this way because this is what everyone agree on. Maybe what everyone agrees on is different than what God says. Let God be right, and whatever he's saying is the truth. Let us abide to his teaching, even if it goes around what the inclination of man's heart or what is the approval of many. To the Lord be the glory forever and ever. Amen.